This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 261, Flippin' Phones. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever daytime or whatever century, year, time zone, dimension, alternate universe, you are listening to this episode of GamesAtWork.biz on, in, or wherever. I'm Michael Rowe, and I'm here with my friend and co-host, Michael Martin.
Hey, hey, we have a show for you people in the future, including ourselves in the future, if we listen to this in the future, which obviously we'd have to because we're doing it now, but we'd listen in the future.
I listen to it when I edit.
Welcome to the future.
Here we are.
Michael, you and I have a couple of few really interesting things that have come across our radar waves this week. And with this being a week of love and of friendship and all kinds of good fun stuff, Valentine's Day is coming up. We've talked about autonomous vehicles and we've talked about electric vehicles, but we've not connected those with Valentine's Day. But this Mashable article I found actually did.
Yes.
Not going to ask you anything specific, but the article here, you know, about your personal preferences, because what you do on your own time, of course, is your own business.
But as far as you know.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So Ford apparently released a survey of 1,000 U.S. adults and found that 3 in 4 people were more likely to date someone if they owned an EV.
You know why? Because they're fast.
Those people are well.
They don't want to waste extra any time, torque, right? Yeah.
It's like, get over here quickly. We're watching Netflix.
That's you know, and chilling.
Get here now. Yes. So I thought that was kind of fun. Now, granted, Ford has a vested interest in all this, you know, being a purveyor of said vehicles, and kind of wanted to know a little bit about this. But I don't know. What do you think? You think an electric vehicle, an EV, makes you more desirable as a life or night partner?
So here's my thought. If you think about it from the standpoint of somebody who really cares, whether that's the environment or noise or sustainability, then a caring person should be more attractive than somebody who just doesn't give a flip, right? So from that perspective, I think it makes sense. Sure. I do find it funny that in the Twitter results of this other poll that somebody did, Sasha Lakash, that the hybrids were meh. So it's just make up your mind. Are you for caring for the environment or do you want to pollute with gas? That's how I read that, right?
You know, it would be interesting to see what the Ford survey looked like, right?
Yeah.
Because they Mashable did say their poll and their Twitter poll was very unscientific, and I'm sure I believe that too. That it looks that way, slightly biased. Slightly biased.
And the real question is, because Ford doesn't really have a lot of electric vehicles, do they? I know they announced the new Mustang.
Yeah, and well, they've got some hybrids today.
Yeah,
right.
Meh.
According to Twitter,
you know, I personally can't refer to it either way. I did drive. I think I drove their hybrid, like a Fusion, one of the times I was traveling and got a car at the rental place. So yeah, it was okay. It's a car. It goes forward, backwards, right, and left. Stops when I tell it to, and goes when I tell it to.
Yeah, well, it's where things are heading. There's plenty of news out there about the the imminent demise of gasoline-powered vehicles and whether they'll be even allowed to be sold or any of that sort of stuff. But I guess for the purposes of this week, if you're trying to create some chemistry, according to Ford, you want to go electric.
Well, here's a question. Since you're trying to do chemistry, would it be better to have a hydrogen fuel cell?
Ooh. you know, it's an interesting thought, right? Because those have been around here too for a while. But I think it's harder for people to wrap their head around fuel cells than it is to say, oh, I can plug my car in and
it's electric.
And get electric. I understand that. I don't have to, you know, worry about hydrogen refueling and all that kind of good fun stuff.
Yeah, because I think fuel cells have been around almost 20 years in some level. There's not many on the road, but I think the fuel cell cars, I think it's been about 20 years.
It's been a long time. I remember the BMW ones from quite a while ago and making a lot of noise about that. But Ford didn't ask you that question, didn't compare hydrogen fuel cell to electric to hybrid, apparently. I guess it was just I want to see the survey.
I want to see the survey.
I want to see the questions.
Yeah.
So questioning minds, people are asking questions. One of those questions is, hey, what's going on with Mobile World Congress?
Yeah. And this is interesting because I've been following this story for a couple of days now on the number of big name companies that have pulled out due to concerns about the coronavirus, right?
Yep.
And typically Mobile World Congress has about 3,000 exhibitors. And I think about 200 so far have pulled out, including some big names like Nokia, Deutsche Telekom. There was a whole slew of them the other day that I remember. Amazon, Sony, Facebook, LG, Vivo, Ericsson. These are the big name ones. And if you've been to any of these large trade shows and conferences, you tend to have the big tentpole exhibitors that use huge amount of space on the show floor. And then you have all the rest. So the question is, of those 200, how many of them are tentpole? And how many of them are those little booths around the edge or back in the corner, right, that have pulled? And the concern really is Mobile World Congress team have been talking with health experts. One of the things that they've put in place to try to address this is anyone coming from the affected areas in China would have to show documented proof of a 14-day outside of that area, basically a quarantine to ensure that they're not a carrier.
Wow.
And so people are freaking out on this, and they're actually looking at it. And by the time you hear this show, because we're recording earlier this week, by the time you hear this show, the show might be canceled because they're assessing that again. Because, I mean, if all your tent poles don't show up, why would you go, right?
Yeah, understandable.
Matter of fact, I have colleagues that are supposed to be there at Mobile World Congress, and I haven't had a chance to talk to them in the last day or two to say, hey, are you still planning on going?
Well, you know, there are certainly, you know, other articles I've seen too about can your business require you to travel if you're concerned about these kinds of things? And it, out of abundance of caution, it does make sense where it's not absolutely urgent and imminent that perhaps the better idea is to lay low for a bit. And according to the article you found here, Michael, too, the organization that handles the event and runs it hasn't done anything about canceling so far. But what they did issue was kind of we're absolving ourselves of any liability related to
the stuff that I mentioned about the 2-week quote quarantine validation, right? That's part of that whole thing. And yeah, it's easy to say you absolve yourself. Yep. You know, I absolved myself for speeding this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I wrote it out. So I'm absolved.
Were you in an electric car?
It's electric. And yeah, we can't use that title because we've used that title for the show before.
I know. I was thinking about that too. But the boogie oogie oogie part of all this is, yes, you can say those things, but gosh, there's all kinds of wrappers around insurance for this event. You know, obviously it's too late to cancel with all the things that have been shipped there.
Well, just think, if you're a small company and that does get canceled and you're one of those little booths around the edge, you may have your whole business plan for 2020 built around announcing a new product at Mobile World Congress.
Well, you know, there would be a way, but let's go back to 2008, shall we, Michael, to hold an event just like this.
Virtual event.
Virtually.
And maybe have people just connect in virtually and put on VR or even AR. AR would be kind of cool, right? You could have like sub-events around at little conference places, but have them with AR so you can talk to the people next to you and the people over there.
Yep. I think AR could work for this, but this might be, in my mind, a use case where VR could be even better, because you could create the stadium or the conference center. You could walk the show floor and you could go and visit any one of these, you know, major companies and see what they have to show. And it would allow for reporters and for public and more to be able to experience it as well, and perhaps dull a little bit the impact of not being there in person. I think it would be not a good substitute, but given wouldn't that be good?
It would be good enough, right?
Yeah, right. Under the conditions, I think it would be good enough, because the people who are going to the show anyway have reserved the time to go do it. And if you said, fine, we're going to do it virtually, you know, or to say, for people who live in Barcelona, we'll take advantage of the environment and we will have folks that can walk around and be there virtually.
Well, and it's really funny, because January 2007, right? We unveiled, the group that I was working in, our work that we were doing around virtual environments, and we did it at CES in a very public place with thousands of people. Instead of saying, hey, it's online, just go.
Well, you know.
But it is, you know, 12 years later, it's time maybe to flip that, right? And say, hey, we're going to unveil it virtually. And if you really need to be there in person, well, don't forget your bunny suit.
Well, right. So idea for next year, you know, maybe it's worthwhile to have a shadow virtual experience in addition to the physical presence.
Speaking of shadows.
Maybe, going. Yeah, speaking of shadows. So
you found this article.
Yeah, this was something that it's one of those things that makes you go, right? So this Reuters article from a couple of days ago highlights how in China, how important it is to control the spread of the virus and to know what has happened and what people's movements have been in order to understand what the infection vectors might be. So this particular article, and there's a bunch of them that are out there, talks about how the tracking a vehicle by license plate to understand where somebody was, and that they should now be sequestering themselves for the 2-week period as well, so that they can be safer and control the spread. And in this particular case is like, after 12 days, this individual was like, hey, you know what? I'm done with this. I need to get out. And the police were in touch with him. His boss was in touch with him. Combination of license, facial recognition. Other articles I've read deal with cell phone location tracking, and being able to identify who were you around, what bus were you on, and making it more easy, or making it easier, to find out who might you have come in contact with so that you can control the disease spread faster. So I've given kind of the good version of this, right?
Well, it's interesting. Many of these technologies are not just used in China, right?
Right, that's where I was going to head.
I mean, one of the most camera-riddled cities on the globe is London, right? And you don't think of London as the same type of, quote, surveillance state as this article from Reuters mentions as China. But they are and have the ability to do all the same level of tracking. The question is, when do you bring that public? And under what circumstances is it critical to let people know that you know, this is going on? And I think what China has decided to do, when they say this is a quarantine period and you must stay in, and actually they request you stay in, and you don't, then you need to see what happens, right? And I'm actually not surprised by this. I'm surprised it took, you know, almost a full month before this type of story popped up.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the time feels like it is now that this has to happen, because in order to have an effective control where you've got, you know, an R0 that is as high as we see right now for the coronavirus as it is, the way to control the spread is you have to identify who are the potential carriers and then take an action. Yep. And even in countries like the United States, you've got the ability via your telecommunications provider to do triangulation on your cell phone. So you can know with a pretty decent degree of accuracy where a cell phone has been and where is it going.
Well, and let's face it, from a commercial perspective, people have already been buying that data, right? I mean, yep. From a purely marketing perspective, the ability to track cell phone movement in order to improve targeted ads, that happens today. I mean, Facebook does that for their ad tracking. You've got other companies that specialize in not only taking that, quote, anonymized tracking data and aligning it with other anonymized tracking data. I just finished reading a book.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if we talked about this last week, by Bruce Schneier, the Click Here to Kill Everybody book, which
great title.
Great title. It's a 2018.
I don't think we talked about it yesterday, no, or last week, whatever.
2018 book. Highly recommend reading it. Not only does he do the typical security scare the crap out of you part of the book, but like all good books, he proposes over the course of 4 or 5 chapters things that can be done about it, right? And ends on a positive note. There was a researcher at MIT that showed that with as little as 3 different, quote, anonymized data sources, how easy it is to de-anonymize to the person.
Right.
Right. And so when we look at tracking data, whether it's tracking cookies or I noticed this morning I was doing some work and on my cell phone, I was flipping between apps, and in the background, there was a little pop-up that said, oh, Facebook noticed a Bluetooth attachment. I'm like, okay, got to figure that one out and turn that off, because Facebook don't get no Bluetooth from me. And so when we go to 5G, it's going to get even more precise because you have detailed coverage and there's a lot more towers and there's a lot more towers closer together in order to get the speed and the capabilities that the 5G network provides and the benefits right. that we're all going to get out of it. But from a tracking perspective, hey, now I have easier triangulation. Oh, and by the way, let's face it. I'll be able to have a lot more data about you because the data is now fast, quick, and easy to do even more precise tracking. So not to be doom and gloom guy, but this is something that we need to realize once again. What are we trading off for convenience? It's the whole security discussion around security versus convenience. Mm-hmm. And in a state like China, where we have this outbreak, that becomes a very simple balancing act that security, in this case, security of the populace, trumps security of the individual, right?
And it's really
convenient because they got data everywhere.
Well, and there are, again, following the United States perspective, there are regulations, laws, et cetera, on the books that could allow and provide for this sort of thing relatively quickly. And,
yeah, I mean,
and
you can,
for public safety, there are absolutely reasons
right.
to go do this sort of
you
thing.
You can do a FISA warrant. You can do a traditional warrant. and track individuals.
Yep.
What's different is individual versus everyone from a U.S. law perspective versus other country laws. And again, that's a country specific thing. And I, you know, I'm not in China. I'm not from China. You know, that is a choice that that society has chosen to make. I don't agree with it.
Well, you know, another approach on this, found a Business Insider article from Hong Kong, and what they're using is a combination of bracelets, wristbands that are tethered to a cell phone, which in turn is tethered to a connection in the home. So that apparently, like, these wristbands are not using GPS, so they're not like the ankle bracelets that people in the United States here might be a little more familiar with.
But if it's
with.
Tethered to your cell phone, it's using GPS, let's face it.
Well, it should be doing something along those lines, or the app on the phone would need to use the GPS on the phone to.
That's exactly what I meant. If it's tethered to your cell phone, it's using GPS.
Yeah. So there's going to be a variety of ways to look into how do you manage and how do you keep control around all this. And if you're especially curious, a colleague of mine shared with me that Johns Hopkins University has created a tracker. So if you want to look sort of in real time, see the deltas, see where things are, you can have a quick little glance at that and use the dashboard interactive tracker to see how things are going on.
And so we love data visualization.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. Incidentally, not to do an advert because we haven't done those yet, but heck, why not?
If someone would give us money, we would.
We might. Edward Tufte is actually going to be in North Carolina relatively soon, and he's doing one of his one-day data visualization courses. And I had a chance to do that a couple of years ago, and I thought it was really, really, really good, and love having his books and kind of hearing and understanding what he has to say about showcasing data visualization. And the one thing I really remember, Michael, is about spark lines. You know about spark lines?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, that's like super cool. And I've not played with them nearly as much as I want to in the Excel environment because Excel does those.
Yeah, I've used those over the last few years in Excel for very specific things.
Yeah. Yeah, so I need to give that another shot too because that was a really cool thing. All right.
Yeah.
Let's continue on, right? So we've been talking about the flipping phones being used to track us and how phones flip around. And here's one thing that had me flipping out, which is WhatsApp is on 2 billion users.
Yeah, and the question that I was trying to figure out, because I haven't checked Bluetooth. The number, was given that, you know, Facebook bought WhatsApp, right?
Yep.
How many of that is just Facebook user uptick? Or, you know, if you had a Venn diagram of Facebook's billions of users, right?
Yep.
And WhatsApp's billions of users. Is that a 20% overlap? Is it an 80% overlap? Is it 100% overlap? I'm guessing it's somewhere like the 50% overlap, 50 to 70%.
Higher. I bet it's even higher.
Well, from an investment perspective, if I were Facebook, I would hope it was very low. Because then I have more data from even more billions of people versus the same people I already have.
Well, Facebook has had them for 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So there's been plenty of time for that to be a large overlap. And
so do you have a WhatsApp
nope.
ID?
Nope.
Yep. I ended up having to get one. Oh, I know why. I ended up having to get one because certain customers and people I work with, that's the only way they communicate.
Wow.
Which is really annoying.
that could be super annoying.
Needless to say, I don't have it running in the background. I have all kinds of things turned off on it. But yeah.
I bet you do. I bet you do. Wow. But still, just the amount of people on a particular app and what that means from an infrastructure perspective, plus, it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling, right?
Yeah. The good thing about it, and I put good thing in giant air quotes, is it claims end-to-end privacy.
Yep.
I know apps like Signal and others do a little bit better. I can't say better. Also claim that. Let's put it that way. Yes. But I've seen vetted analysis of the security profiles of some of the other apps. I've not seen one on WhatsApp. And we know that WhatsApp is targeted by security professionals and others and is used to sometimes hack into people's data. So.
Ooh.
I love security. It's fun.
Flipping phones.
Flipping phones. Well, speaking of flipping phones, right? This week, Samsung Galaxy's announcements. They did an ad during the Oscars. That was a pre-announce of the phone. And then they launched on Monday of this week, is it three different models of the new Galaxy? There's like the Z, there's the Galaxy something 20, etc. But it's interesting. We have these bendable phones, as they're called, right? And the Galaxy Z Flip is the first one that almost kind of makes sense to me. And I think it's because how they've been positioning it, which is it's about the size of a makeup compact that somebody would carry around with them. So instead of doubling the size of the phone, they're cutting it in half to make it easier. And I've seen so many people who put phones in their back pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got like three quarters or, you know, two thirds of the phone hanging out of the pocket because they got this giant phone and they're little tiny people. Unlike some of us who, you know, have giant phones and giant pockets. so it's, I think from that perspective, I think they've done a really good job of marketing, and maybe this one hits the market. I think the price, whoo, you know, is pretty steep. I think it starts at what, $1,300?
I know, and there's it seems like it goes up to $2,000.
Yeah, and my favorite part is I read an article or I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about it actually has a disclaimer that there's a crease. It's like, yeah, no kidding. It's a foldable device. There's a crease at the fold. That's what happens when you fold things. They have creases. It's not like
some
you're rolling
like creases.
It.
You know, on a pair of slacks, you kind of want that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you got the notch. You got the crease.
And some of them are going to be available this Valentine's Day. And they're electric, too. So if you drove your electric vehicle and had a Galaxy Z Flip, you would be doubly attractive.
So we're getting closer and closer to the communicator from Star Trek in this way yet again.
It does look like it, except it's
except the
ugly.
Communicators didn't have all the glitzy visual stuff. Like I kind of like that when it's closed, there's a couple of places on the phone that provide you information, like you know, what's the battery charge or
what's the time.
Like, what's the time? Or looks like there's one photo here that's showing like a video or photo or something like that. You know, maybe you can hook it up to a camera and you can watch what's going on from your connected camera.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I remember, for the longest time, there were skins that you could put on your Windows device that gave you the LCARS experience. Do you remember what LCARS is?
I do not remember this experience.
The LCARS, right, was the UI used in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah. Exactly, with the bend and everything.
Yeah, so what they need to do is actually put an LCARS skin on the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip. And then you would have a true Star Trek experience.
It's almost like a miniaturized tricorder in that way.
Yeah.
But you remember the little tricorders had like a teensy tiny black and white TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And they looked like it too.
Yeah.
No, I really think this is interesting. There's all kinds of rumors that Apple keeps playing around with a foldable device. Microsoft just announced this week at their developer conference support for some updated foldable Microsoft devices at the API level in the operating system, especially, you know, how do you set up your application? So part of it displays on one screen and like the toolbars display on the other. How do you handle it if it flips this way or that way? So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with foldables right now. Again, I'm not sure if I need one yet, but we shall see. Would you get a foldable device?
I don't know. I think part of me would be worried about it breaking, and part of me is like, I don't know that I need one. You know, I don't need it to protect said screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think as the technology gets better and better with bendable, foldable, you know, e-paper kinds of things, that's really where the interesting thing might happen, where you don't need to have glass, which can shatter and break. You're just dealing with something that's small enough and that if it floats to the ground, so what? But I don't know that I would like to have a smaller form factor necessarily. I kind of like having something that is big enough to give me a good visual experience. So I don't have a need for something that folds like a compact. But
yeah.
You never know what's going to happen in the future, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I don't know if I need it yet. I really like my display that I currently have. I am definitely looking at getting a new phone later this year.
Ooh.
But that'll be, you know, the typical time of later this year. So September purchase, October delivery, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I think this is, you know, another shot across the bow of trying to innovate on phones. I mean, we've had a decade of black slabs.
Yeah, after all the candy bars, yeah, yep. We're in this in the larger form factor that way. So I think it's useful, but we've talked about this before too, where the interface may wind up being less visual, hold a screen in your hand and move elsewhere, and
yep.
That the interaction will be much more natural in terms of, you know, magic with a gesture, you know, that can be interpreted
by
something that you're wearing.
Right.
Right.
Voice and AR are, I think, the UI of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll see people kind of poking at things in thin air. And
no, all look like crazy people. We used to say people look crazy walking down the street with a Bluetooth thing in their ear, talking to themselves. Now they're going to be wearing stuff and talking to themselves and pointing at things.
Just please people pay attention to the cars around you, because, you know,
especially if they're electric.
Just do. Boogie oogie.
Well, I think we are at time.
We are.
Hope everybody has had a great weekend. And we look forward to your continued feedback over at our Facebook page, which, we will have a link to it in the show notes, but it is facebook.com/gamesatworkbiz, I believe.
And if you have any tech-related Valentine's Day stories, maybe something you did in AR with a friend, or, you know, how you...
No. Don't tell us about things that you did with a friend in AR. No.
Oh, yeah, maybe not. Yeah, skip that.
Skip that.
Strike that.
Strike that completely. TMI.
Yeah, any technology stories, that could be
good. That would be good.
And we would love to talk about them, so... if you hit us up on our Facebook page, you find us on Twitter, you find us in all the various and sundry places, or wherever you get your podcasts and netcasts from, love to hear them. And then we'll bring them up here on a future edition of
GamesAtWork.biz.
Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.